there again with Home on the Res. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm Mick Fable. We're so glad you're listening to our radio podcast about housing on First Nations. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find them at www.fnnboa.ca.
Over the last few months, we have learned a ton about housing on First Nations. We've talked with people from Ontario to BC and all the way up to the Arctic.
In this episode of Home on the Res, we're going to give you a little taste of what each of these people shared with us.
That's awesome. That will give a good overview of Home on the Res.
It sure will. Who should we start with?
How about Laura Lapointe in Nunavik? They have a super cool housing program called P-Valunik.
That's right. They have a totally different way to get people to work with the Housing Bureau to beautify their villages.
P-Valunik really started to, instead of being negative and tell the tenants like, or give tenants consequences, it went the opposite. It was, no, we're going to help on a positive point to the tenants to get the support to well maintain their house and their home. And also work with the young people, right, to reflect on the advantage of living in a safe environment, a well-maintained house. So it was a kind of new approach. It was very hard, but after actually the first 5 months, the first agent went from village to village, and actually they certified for 90 families. The certification is part of the makeover team. The first step to get in the program is to have the first visit, right? So the agent go and visit the tenant and see how he can, like, or she can support the tenant in the maintaining of its home. So, 3 months or 6 months later, there is a follow-up visit. So in this visit, they see if there was improvement or if there are still issues. And if it's in a really good condition, the tenant gets certified. At the end of the year, there is a big housing day organized by P-Valunik with the Housing Bureau. And in this housing day, all the certified families of the program get access to this annual draw, which there are big prizes such as furniture, cookware set, free rent, gift certificate at the local co-op.
That is very positive. I'm interested to hear how they managed to get kids interested in housing.
Then you'll have to listen to the episode on community makeovers.
You bet I will. Who else have we got?
Well, we did talk to the president of FNBOA about building better houses. He had some really good advice for chiefs and councils.
The first lesson that we need to learn is that we need to take care, we need to take control of our own housing. The authority having jurisdiction, chief and councils, housing committees, housing authorities, have to step up and say, you know, we're going to do it right, and we're going to, if there's something not meeting the code in the plans, then it needs to be changed before we start. We have some very, very good First Nation inspectors. They've taken the provincial courses and everything, and they're at par with their provincial counterparts. But when we get to First Nation level, the problem that we have is that they have no authority. They're just a resource to the First Nation. So if they write up that something's been built wrong, and it's an infraction on the code, the majority of the time it doesn't get fixed. It just gets overlooked and that. So without having any authority to start or stop a job at First Nation level, then the mistakes on the plans are built right into the houses. It's very, very important that we build them. It's a health and safety issue for our people, and we need to make sure that our people are taken care of in those issues. So when we get if we get more money to build houses with, we can build them to last longer, more longevity. in the houses. They're, you know, more energy efficient, and the environment of them is a lot better, and you know, our families won't be coming down with all of the issues that we have health wise.
That sounds like important advice. You know, housing on First Nations is not like housing anywhere else in Canada. When you watch the news, you see First Nations homes and they are in terrible shape. They're falling apart, the families living in them are sick, and it seems like they all have terrible mold. And the cost of renovating these homes is astronomical. It's sometimes cheaper to build a brand new house.
It is, if you follow the example of Yale First Nation. They did a ton of research before they decided to invest in a new kind of house. The passive house.
In our episode about makeovers, we talked with Crystal Sador. She is the housing manager at Yale First Nations in BC.
I always joke around that the passive buildings are the very first houses that I've ever encountered that come with a user's manual. It's a large binder. It explains to our tenants what passive is. How to use the HRV system, that's the heat recovery ventilation system. Also, it explains the appliances, because we have highly efficient washer and dryer in the units. Passive homes not only keep out heat, but they keep out cold. They're easy to heat. They cost very little to heat. In fact, one of our two-bedroom units could theoretically be heated by 6 60-watt light bulbs. So it's very affordable. It's very doable. I think that isolated communities would really benefit from building modular and building passive, because that you don't have to be trucking in firewood. You don't have to be trucking in the building materials. You just bring in the finished product, put it on a foundation, finish it up, and your tenants move in.
If I build a house someday, I'm definitely going to invest in something that's as energy efficient as a passive house.
Good idea. But I think the biggest challenge is that you can't get a mortgage to build a home, if you want to build one, on reserve land.
So a person, even a First Nations person, can't really own the reserve land that their house is on.
And that means that banks are not willing to lend money to build a home on your First Nation, no matter how energy efficient they are.
But some banks have worked with First Nations to help their people get mortgages so they can build their own homes. We talked with Eddie Davis, manager of Public Works, Housing and Construction for the Skeechesin Band in BC.
So last year in this particular community, I passed a piece of legislation with our council allowing band members to borrow money to build or buy houses on reserve. So a couple of banks, BMO and RBC, have very strong on-reserve lending programs that they've had in operation for quite a few years now, and they've been very successful. However, to be able to access those programs, the individual First Nations community has to adopt, they have to write a policy around it. We have policies that we spent quite a bit of money on with some consultants and went over all kind of aspects and scenarios. What happens if a person defaults and what are they going to do in all these types of scenarios? So you have to put in a strong policy, and then you have to sign a BCR and send it to the bank saying that, hey, we're going to adopt your systems, and then they can go. It used to be that communities wouldn't share all their policies, and I'm really happy to see in the last few years that we have groups of communities that band together, and we're sharing all of our policies together, and there are groups like the First Nations Market Housing Fund who have a whole list of policies. So if anybody wants to figure out how homeownership policies can be written and structured, I'll give them mine for free. We'll happily share ours because we would like to see more success stories.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to build a house for my mother on her First Nation, but I know I can't afford it without borrowing money. Now, there's a way for me to do that.
Me too. But first, I have to finish my degree and get a job.
That's right. Even if your band passes a BCR, you have to have a job so you can pay back the mortgage they gave you.
Fair enough. Eddie Davis really emphasized that when we talked to him.
I wonder, if I had a degree and a job, would my First Nation pass a BCR for me?
For elected leaders in First Nations, housing is a very problematic issue. When you're elected to serve the people make demands, and sometimes the people who make the loudest demands are the ones who get the house or the renovation they want. And that leaves other community members out in the cold.
Literally. And that seems like an impossible issue to address. Is there a way to solve it?
You know what? There is. Some First Nations have taken the authority and responsibility of housing away from the elected leaders. Instead, they've created a separate entity, a housing authority, which manages houses for the First Nation in a way that is fair and transparent.
Lou Moody told us about the housing authority on NCN in Nelson House, Manitoba.
Well, the housing authority basically have the exclusive mandate to look after housing. When I say exclusive mandate, that means the chief and council and the community members gave that exclusivity to the housing authority. What I mean by that is that the chief and council cannot come in there and decide anything related to housing. There's a protocol that needs to be followed, an organizational chart that needs to be followed. And the chief and council are in full recognition of that, not only the chief and council, but the people are as well. That is the most important thing about the housing authority. And more importantly, the housing authority being able to follow the guiding principles that were laid out by the people.
That seems like such a great idea. But as Lou Moody explained in our episode on housing authorities, very few First Nations have managed to successfully implement this strategy.
Still, the people of NCN are very happy with their housing authority. So maybe their First Nation can be a model for others to follow.
For sure. After everything I have learned from all the people we talked to, I am way more hopeful than I used to be.
Awesome. I think that everyone who listens to Home on the Res will learn something. And I know they'll feel better about the future of housing on First Nations in Canada.
I think the only way to go is up.
I think you're right. Well, that's it for this episode of Home on the Res. We hope you've enjoyed getting a sneak peek of the men and women who are leading their communities to take control of housing, engaging their people, finding the most innovative housing designs, getting a mortgage, passing a building inspection, setting up a housing authority. Anything else?
Nope, but that's quite a lot.
That's it for our show today. Tune in to the Indigenous radio stations across Canada to hear our next show.
If you missed any of our podcasts, you can find them at www.fnnboa.ca. Look for the Radio Finboa link.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments or suggestions, you can leave a voice message at 613-236-2040. Or you can email info@fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our brilliant researcher and Trace producer, Annette Ermine, producer, writer, and editor, Shannon Avison, and our executive producer, John Krodowski.
Special thanks to Finboa for giving us the opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations. I'm Mick Favel.
And I'm Jennifer Francis. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.